Since the pastor of this church thinks it'll be difficult to keep everybody awake this afternoon, I'm going to preach on, Lord willing, one of the first principles of the doctrine of Christ. We find a list of them in Hebrews chapter 6, as the Apostle Paul desired to go on to for perfection. He wanted to go further to teach God's children the understanding of God, the doctrine of Christ, but he could not because they were not first rooted and grounded in the first principles. And I often present this such as you need to learn how to count before you can add, and you need to know how to add before you can multiply. You need to know how to multiply before you can do some algebra. So it's line upon line, precept upon precept. But the Hebrew brethren here were still stuck in the mud, so to speak, that they did not know or understand the first principles of the doctrine of Christ, as they're listed here in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1. He says, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundations of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms, that's plural, of the laying on of the hands, and of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. So to keep everyone awake this afternoon, we'll talk a little bit about eternal judgment. Hell, damnation, everlasting shame. And just as heaven is a real place, so is hell. And one of the proof texts that the Lord has given us is in the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Is found here in Revelation chapter 20, beginning with verse 11. I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Many different ideas about this text. I've been preaching for quite a while, and I really didn't think there was too much questions about this text till I read something not too long ago where some Primitive Baptist preachers were discussing it and said that some of God's children were cast into hell. they were included in this text. And yeah. That's what I always like about Brother Ronnie. He'll keep you awake if I don't. But I thought, how ridiculous. I said, I mean, what's going on? And so, just like to talk a little bit about this text and try to show you what it is teaching. And if you read it the way that we'll explain it, it'll just be as plain as the nose on your face. I hope we all understand when it comes to the resurrection. That, again, is one of the simplicities or the first principles of the doctrine of Christ. You need to understand the resurrection before you can attain higher unto your understanding of God and His ways and His church, His kingdom, and how He operates here in the earth. You need to understand the resurrection of the body. And when the Lord comes, you understand that the Lord's people are going to be in one of two states. Some will be what? Alive. And others will be dead or asleep in Christ. They're in one or two states. We hopefully all understand that. Even right now, all of the Lord's family is in one of two states. They're either here in the earth, alive, or yet to be born, or they're sleeping, their bodies are sleeping in Christ, and their souls and spirits are in heaven. They're in one of two states. And when the Lord Jesus was here, he taught that over and over and over again. We turn here to the Gospel of John. As Brother Gary was preaching here from the 8th chapter, he didn't get into the furtherance into this chapter where the Lord sort of dukes it out with some of these ungodly individuals, because they come to him after charging this woman. And as we read here, Jesus went there into the temple and he's teaching, and they come to him as he's in the temple there in 20, and they start talking to the Lord, and the Lord tells them, "Where I go, ye cannot come." He says, "I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, ye cannot come." Then the Jews said, "Will he kill himself? Because he saith, 'Whither I go, I cannot come.'" He said, "What's going on here? The Lord is saying, I'm going to heaven, and you're going to split hell wide open, because where I go, you cannot come." And what they're saying is, you're going to hell, and we're going to heaven. You know, that conversation still goes on today, doesn't it, with people? You know, we're going to heaven, you're going to hell, so forth and so on. But it's the judge of all the earth that's able to say who goes to heaven and who goes to hell. Because when that day came, when there were three men dying on a cross, I'd say about 90% or above were wrong in their... Or I'd say probably 99% of them were wrong. Because most of the people there thought that all three of those men went to hell. The disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ and those that loved him knew he was a good man. And they believed that Jesus was going to heaven. And those two thieves were going to go to hell. But they were wrong too, weren't they? They were wrong too. I remember a time I had to preach the funeral of a man who was a drunkard there in the community. And there at the layout, the people in the community, they wanted me to preach him in hell. His family wanted me to preach him in heaven. And I just left him there in the Lord's hands. So, you know, I'm not the judge of that. That's the Lord's doing. But here, Jesus says, you're going to die in your sins. And he says, where I go, you cannot come. And then he said again in verse 24, he says, ye shall die in your sins. If ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Jesus, three times. Just as he told Peter that he would deny him three times, here the Lord says three times, ye shall die in your sins. Now we can thank God that he's not said that to any of his children. There's things that God says to the wicked, to the ungodly, to the unbelieving, to the murderers, and those who love to make a lie. There's things that he said to Cain that he's never said to you. Things that he has said to Esau, he'd never say to you. And he said this to these wicked Jews, ye shall die in your sins. If it wasn't for God's everlasting love, his electing grace, if it wasn't for his blood that was shed at Calvary, we too would die in our sins. And if you die in your sins, you don't go to heaven, but you are cast into the lake of fire if you die in your sins. And so this was a terrible pronouncement upon these wicked men. And so they discuss this, and it's a long discussion, as they charge Jesus of being born of fornication, You say, well, what were they charging? What was that all about? They had this idea that if you were born out of wedlock or born in fornication, that you could not go to heaven. Well, you see, Jesus didn't look like the rest of his brothers and sisters, did he? He had a different daddy. And even his brothers and sisters knew that. See, he don't look like the rest of us. And that's one of the reasons Jesus was never accepted at home, even by his own siblings. That's why he said the foxes have holes, the birds of the air have a nest, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. He was not welcome at home. And all when they looked back and started counting the months when he was taken down there and his birth record and when he was circumcised, and they started counting up the months, and when Joseph and Mary actually married, it was a little bit short, wasn't it? Because even before, she was there with child. But Joseph was not the father. We read that the Holy Spirit moved. He was conceived of the Holy Ghost, that within her virgin womb. And so they charged him, and they said, you're going to split hell wide open because you're born of fornication. He says, God's my father. Then they had a discussion about that. We go on here to John chapter 10, which is the sheep chapter of the Bible. And here the Lord, let's go to chapter 11, where we have the story of Lazarus being raised from the dead. And it was a sad scene. Lazarus has died. He's been dead for 4 days. Jesus comes on the scene, and Martha comes running out, and she says, Lord, if you'd been here, my brother would not have died. And he says unto her, I'm the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Some people place the emphasis on belief here. What Jesus is teaching here is the two states of his people. He's teaching her that there are those that belong to him, that liveth and believeth on him, they shall what? Never die. And he says, there's those that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Those are those that are sleeping in Christ. This scripture here is teaching the two states of God's people. I was talking to a man years ago, and he says, you know, when the Lord comes back to resurrect us all, we who are alive, he's going to have to kill us all so he can resurrect us all. And I says, what are you talking about? It says, we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Those who are alive will not die. And that's what Jesus is saying here. He's saying when he comes back, he says, those that are asleep in him, those that have died, he says, they're going to be resurrected and they shall live. And whosoever liveth, that is, when he comes back, shall never die. And that's the same thing the Apostle Paul writes over here. He writes over here the two states of God's children. Let's turn to Ephesians and the prayer that the Apostle Paul makes. And in Ephesians chapter 3, he says in verse 14, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. You notice he doesn't say in heaven and earth and under the earth. He says in whom in heaven and earth is named. So part of the family is in heaven. Those who are asleep, their spirit and souls are where? They're in heaven. Part of the family's in heaven, and part of them are still alive here in the earth.
Amen.
One of the two states. Then we turn over here to the resurrection chapter of the Bible. In 1 Corinthians 15. And is there two states that the Lord finds his people when he comes back? In verse 51, in 1 Corinthians 15, we read these words. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Paul says here, we, the family of God, not all of us will be dead. Not all of us will be sleeping in the cemetery. Not all of us will be sleeping in the Lord Jesus Christ. Some of us will be alive. Two states of the righteous. Some will be alive and others will be sleeping. Jesus says, when I come back, I'm the resurrection, the life. He says, he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live, be resurrected. And those that are alive when he comes, they shall never die. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. And it won't take long, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Now the Apostle Paul teaches that the over here in Thessalonians, he teaches them the two states of the righteous. He says in First Thessalonians 4, which we should all know, words that we should comfort those who've lost loved ones with. He says here, brethren, I would not have you to be ignorant concerning them which are asleep. Those who are dead, those who are asleep, that you saw are not, even as those which have no hope for it. If we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them which also sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For we that say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive remain unto the coming of the Lord, alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord, shall not prevent or go before them that which are asleep. And he talks about how the dead in Christ, those in that state, will rise first. Then we who are alive remain shall be caught up to meet them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. He emphasizes the two states of the family of God, part in heaven, part in earth. They'll either be sleeping in Christ, or they'll be alive here walking on this earth. Do y'all understand that? Does everybody understand that?
Right.
One of two states. Some individuals, your loved ones, they're not walking this earth. You know by their love for the Lord and their belief in the Lord Jesus Christ and the way they walked and lived. And you can say farewell to them, having the sweet hope that y'all would meet again in where? In heaven. And you believe that their state is, they're now, their soul and spirit are active in the presence of God there, waiting for the day of the resurrection. But part of the family remains down here in the earth. One of two states. All right, now let's look at the wicked. And hopefully we'll keep awake as we go through this text. Let's go to those who are dead in trespasses and in sins. You were born, you were at one time dead in trespasses and in sins, but you were made alive in Christ.
That's right.
You were born in sin, but thank God you don't die in your sins. Because you've been changed, quickened, made alive. But there's people who are born in sin and they die in sin. And we're going to talk about those who die in sin. And those who walk this earth still in that wicked, ungodly state. And they have no changes. The Bible says the wicked have no changes. And so let's look at this. Now remember those two states of the righteous. Because the wicked are in two states as well.
Right.
Part of them are walking here on this earth. I call them the walking dead. You ever see a little scary movie? We don't watch scary movies. I don't like scary movies. But I tell you, the scariest one that I've ever seen is in no comparison to being around wicked people. You talking about something scary. I call them the walking dead because their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. And at one time, we all walked according to the lust of the flesh. according to the prince of the power of the air, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, hath quickened us together with Christ. And that's the reason we don't die in our sins. We've been made alive in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But there's people that are born in sin, they live in sin, they brag about their sin, and they die in their sins. And Jesus was talking to some of those in John chapter 8. I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. He says, I saw the dead. That's the dead in trespasses and in sins who are physically alive when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back. Let me repeat that again. That's the dead. Not the physically dead, but the dead. The dead in trespasses and in sins. Those who hate God, who know Him not. Those who have no fear of God. See, when the Lord comes back, His children are going to be alive here on this earth. There's going to be a separation between the dead and the living here. As far as those who... There's going to be a separation between the sheep and the goats. Y'all understand that much. All right, when the Lord comes back, these dead here are the dead that are walking on this earth. Just like when the Lord comes back, there's going to be righteous walking here on this earth. There's going to be those who are alive in Christ walking on this earth. And when the Lord comes back, there's going to be those who are dead in trespasses and sins walking on this earth. These are the dead, small and great, stand before God. The books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead, those who are dead in trespasses and in sins, were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. God's children, praised be His name, are not judged according to their works, but they're judged according to the work of the Lord Jesus Christ at Calvary.
Amen.
Now we're going to take care. Now those who are alive and who are dead in trespasses and in sins, they're going to be judged according to their works. Now He's going to take care of the other state of the wicked. What's the other state of the wicked? Oh yeah, you know some... Hitler didn't get away with it, did he? You see, people think, well, I died and got away with it. Oh, no. It says here, He's going to take care of that other state that the wicked are in. And what is that other state that the wicked are in? They've died. And when they die, their soul and spirit goes to a place called hell. And remains there until the last day, the last trump, the resurrection. Old Cain's been down there. He's been suffering a long time. Been suffering a long time. But there's one thing that they fear. The worst is yet to come for them. Because, see, they just suffering in their soul. And it's another, and they must suffer also in their body as well. Somebody has the idea that hell, that God, when it comes to hell, why, He'll just sort of burn people up and annihilate them, and there'll be no more. Listen, there's a lot of God's people, His disciples, that were burned and persecuted and were burned alive. And to tell me that the wicked are not going to suffer any more than those Christians that were persecuted and were burned alive. Listen, oh no. I trust that you all understand that the joys of the righteous are just as long as the sufferings of the wicked. And they shall burn with everlasting torment. And they shall suffer in not only in their souls as they're suffering now, but they'll suffer there in their bodies as well. And here we find here that God's going to take care of these wicked who have died a natural death. We see here the sea gave up the dead, those who were died in their sins. Said the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead those who are dead in trespasses and in sins which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. So when the Lord comes back, it says the heavens will be on fire. It says here in Revelation 20 that there's no place for what? The earth and the heaven fled away. And there's this great white throne there. And before this throne are those who died and were born in their sins. They lived in their sins. They died in their sins. They bragged about their sins. They went to hell in their sins. And death and hell will deliver up the dead which are in them. And the wicked dead, will be judged according to their works.
Amen.
They'll be judged.
Right.
But how about the righteous? How about those who Jesus died for? Well, I think we'll appreciate it. We'll see. We'll be there on that day. And you see, there's no record for a great... I mean, how are you going to squeeze a great white throne? go over here to the Thessalonians, you know? I mean, it's just all happiness and joy for us. It's not that we're going to, you know, come. Listen, God's people are not cast into hell when they leave this world. The wicked are cast into hell, and it'll be death and hell that'll deliver up the dead who are in trespasses and sins, and they'll be judged according to their works. But we are judged according to the righteousness of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And when God looks upon us, why, there won't be anybody to accuse. I thought about what was brought to us this morning. And the Lord says, where is thy accusers? Where's thy accusers? And he says, and there were none. Oh, I'm looking forward to the day when even old Satan, the accuser of the brethren, he's going to be cast where? Into the lake of fire. He's going to be there before even this great white throne judgment takes place. But anyway, death and then the Lord takes care of death itself. Because we read here that death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. No wonder when those disciples came back and they were all excited and full of joy and filled with the Spirit and said, well, even the demons are subject unto us. And the Lord says, rejoice. I'll give you something to rejoice in. That your names are written in heaven. On that day, the wicked will be charged and they will be judged and they'll be cast into the lake of fire. And as those judgments and things are pronounced, I believe that scripture will know even as we're known. And we'll realize that there's people that lived and committed sins, and because of their sins, they went to hell because they were judged according to their works. And I trust you and myself, be on the right hand of the Savior in the sheepfold, the family of God, the elect of God, the children of God. I think it'll be a very humbling experience realizing that even we ourselves may have participated, may have tasted, not filled our cup to its brim, not being full with it, but we tasted of that as well. We may have done some of the very same things. And we will ask ourselves, what's the difference? And then we'll know, as God's everlasting love poured out His everlasting mercy upon us, wrote our names in His everlasting book of life, and as we were there in the everlasting covenant that's ordered in all things and sure, we had a Savior But they didn't. We had a friend that would stick closer than a brother, but they didn't. And we had a shepherd that didn't lose any of his sheep. And we belong to him. Then I believe we'll know election to its fullest and be able to appreciate what the Lord spoke when to Moses when he says, I'll have mercy on whom I'll have mercy, and I'll have compassion upon whom I will have compassion. And I think on that day we can all bow down upon our knees and thank God that we're not judged according to our works. I realize this is sometimes an unpleasant subject, but you know, to appreciate a lot what you're saved to, you need to realize what you've been saved from.
That's right.
And but God doesn't cast any of his children into hell.
Right.
These people are judged according to the works. It's talking about the dead.
Right.
And if you read it again, you understand that these are the dead who are alive when he comes. He's going to judge them. And the dead that are in the sea and death and hell itself. They're going to come forward and he's going to judge them. And they'll all be judged according to the works. And I want to tell you right now this afternoon, if you are judged according to your works, you're gone. No hope for you. Praise be unto his name. You've been sprinkled with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And thank God that even though we may have tasted some of the very things that these people are going to be judged for, let us thank God that he's had mercy upon us, undeserving sinners. May we ever be grateful that he loved us and gave himself for us. And let us ever be so thankful that he has never uttered those words to us. Ye shall die in your sins. Where I go, ye cannot come. But he spoke to some others. You know, John 14, he says, I'm going to go prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. I trust we're in that fold and in that number. Thank you for your good attention.
Amen.